Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stews, where, from the book of Acts, we're learning how the Holy Spirit of God is filling the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. All are welcome to join us for worship at Church of the King, each Lord's Day at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We celebrate family-integrated worship with the hearty singing of psalms and hymns, the proclamation of God's Word, and weekly communion. Go online to orderlyaccount.com to learn more about us. Now, here's Pastor John Stews.
Brothers and sisters, we have now spent over 100 sermons considering together how the Spirit of God is carrying out His task. As Luke brings his orderly account to a close, we will see the very same message. The Apostle Paul will reach Rome, as we saw in our text this morning. And that is the religious and political center of the ancient world. And from there, we find him preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So during the visit to the island of Malta, we saw the dangers of idolatry, which continue down to our day. Last week, we studied the importance of miracles and how we must trust the Holy Spirit to use them as He will. And this week, we will see the Holy Spirit taking Paul on the final leg of his journey to Rome. May God grant us the insight to see how God delivers Paul, but also to know that He will today take us where He wants us to go. Paul and Luke and Aristarchus spent over 3 months on the island of Malta, and they had quite an impact on this Mediterranean island, an impact that we can still see today. And now Luke gives us the details about how they reached Rome. And I included in the order of worship the map again that we used in the early part of the journey so that you'll be able to see the travels from Malta up into Rome. At verse 11, Luke tells us in the way that he loved seafaring, "After 3 months we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered in the island. Julius and his prisoners are able to board another Alexandrian grain ship that had harbored safely during those winter storms, and thus they can finish the trip to Rome that they started many, many months before." In verse 12 we read, "In landing at Syracuse we stayed 3 days." The delay here appears to be related to the weather, and many believe that it gave Paul the time or opportunity to plant a church, which went on there on the island. In verse 13, we read, "From there we circled round and reached Rhegium." The sailing was still tough, and after the three-day delay, they finally reached the southern tip of Italy, and finally, they receive favorable weather. After 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day, we came to Puteoli. This is a major Roman port. It was the destination of these Alexandrian ships. And here Julius would make the preparations for the final journey to Rome by land, probably needing some time to put his records back in order. Because remember, everything was lost at sea in the shipwreck. This time gives Paul another opportunity to minister to some Christian brothers and sisters, as he had in the first days of his journey back in Sidon. Luke tells us that the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. Now, obviously, the Roman centurion Julius has grown to trust the Apostle Paul, and he gives him leave to make this visit, though he was likely accompanied by a soldier, as he would be when he reaches Rome. Paul is still a prisoner, but God is gracious in allowing him to encourage the saints here at Puteoli. Now, there was already an established church, and we don't know when that church was started. But it could actually have been right after the day of Pentecost, when thousands of foreign visitors were present in Jerusalem as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And Luke records that almost 3,000 people were saved that day. Now remember, Luke gave us a list of all sorts of places, including the Roman area that these people had come from. But he doesn't give us all the details about who was saved and what happened when they went back to their home cities. And it's important for us to remember that Luke is not being exhaustive in his orderly account. The Spirit was working far broader than just the details that Luke gives in his accounts. In any case, the Apostle Paul has 7 days to fellowship with these saints and to encourage them in their walk. And after this week, Luke simply says, "And so we went to Rome." The final leg is traveled along the famous Appian Way, where many triumphant Roman generals marched back to Rome in victory. It was the road where Spartacus and his fellow rebel slaves were crucified by General Crassus, who then made a triumphant march back to Rome on this very road. And you see, now another prisoner was making his way to Rome via the Appian Way, a prisoner who would also die at the hands of his Roman captors, but not before he had proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of Jesus. Now, of course, had Emperor Nero known who was about to march into his city, he might have sent some generals out to kill Paul. That would not have stopped the march of Christ's kingdom. Word travels quickly that Paul is near, and the saints rush to meet him on the way. In verse 15 we read, "And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as the Appian Forum and the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage." The end of Paul's long journey was in sight. The prayers that he had asked these saints to lift up on his behalf have been answered. You see, Paul had requested such specific prayers near the end of his epistle to the Romans, which he had written probably about 3 years earlier. In chapter 15 and verse 30, we read this, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you." Yes, those prayers were answered. And those prayers were needed. Paul's journey was filled with all of the trials that he had anticipated in the city of Jerusalem, along with many traveling perils that he may not have fully anticipated. But his God has brought him to Rome safe and sound, just as he had promised Paul when he was first imprisoned in the city of Jerusalem. Now Paul is being greeted by many of the saints who had read and responded to the epistle to the Romans that he had written years before. And I'm pretty sure that many of those that Paul actually named in the 16th chapter of Romans came out to meet him on the way or visited him soon after. In that final chapter of the book of Romans, which gets little attention, Paul sent his greeting to Priscilla and Aquila, along with at least 26 other individual saints there in Rome. Now, I thought about it, but I'm not going to butcher all those Roman names by trying to read that portion this morning. You know, it's kind of one of those chapters that's like Chronicles. You're reading it and going, why are we going through all these names? But I hope that our study of this final leg of the journey that Paul makes to Rome makes that chapter with all of those names much more special the next time that you read it. Now, I'm sure that some of the saints were remembering Paul's final promise to them in the 16th chapter as he approached Rome. He had told them at verse 20, "And the God of peace," think about this next time you see a peace bumper sticker, "the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly." Paul and the other Christians at this time were still under the protection of the Roman Empire, as we've seen in various places along this journey. Rome was the final great empire that God had shown Daniel in the king's dream that were to reign until the coming of Jesus. The stone that was cut without hands that came and smashed the statue. As we know from the book of Revelation, Rome would soon turn from a protecting empire to a devouring beast under the sway of Satan. And thus the promise by God that he would soon be crushed under their feet. In just a few hundred years, the mighty Roman Empire would be all but forgotten, and would have been forgotten had it not been for Christian monks. And Christendom would be filling all of Europe. Filling all of Europe with more and more blessings and freedoms as the kingdom of Jesus filled the earth. Soon the Emperor Nero would begin the first of many vicious campaigns to destroy the church, leading to the martyrdom of many early saints. But just as King Herod failed to kill the baby Jesus, so Nero and all those who follow in his ways have failed to kill the church or to destroy God's Word. Down through history, many have tried and many have failed. But the kingdom of Jesus continues to grow because, as we studied again last week, the Holy Spirit knows where history is going, and He will make sure that all of God's purposes are fulfilled. So what does all of this mean for us today? Well, first and foremost, it means that we should continue to have the confidence to know that the Spirit of God is taking history where He intends it to go. That is as much true today as it was in the first century. Just as Satan's rule over Rome was crushed by the gospel, so we know that all of the nations of the earth will someday kiss the Son, as declared by Psalm 2. This is more fully explained by the Apostle Paul in the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 15, which we often think of as the resurrection chapter. But it goes on to talk about the impact of the resurrection for the kingdom, and of course, the impact of the resurrection on us as individual saints who face death. But listen carefully to the impact that the resurrection of Jesus has in history. At verse 20 we read, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and after those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death." That is the hope of the gospel that we are to believe and work toward today, tomorrow, and every day until the Spirit of God has finished His work. Now, do we find this hard to believe, thinking about every nation under the rule of Christ? Sure, that's hard to believe if we're honest. I mean, think about all the bad news that we have to weigh us down. or even the bad theology that many of us learned that actually expected things to get worse and worse before the return of Jesus. Does such a view of history seem overwhelming? We have to go out and conquer all the nations of the earth. Oh, and by the way, we also have to raise up the church as the perfection of the body of Christ. Got to bring it all back together. How's that for overwhelming? So again, our answer, if we're honest, should be yes. But we, as His servants, I think need to be remembering the principle that we often teach our children when they're overwhelmed by mammoth tasks, or we help ourselves sometimes. We ask a simple question. How do you walk 100 miles? And the answer is, one step at a time. If you think about walking 100 miles, you get pretty tired and overwhelmed. But if you take one step, you're probably ready to take the next. Of course, there's always the more humorous side of that. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So how does the Spirit of God fill the earth with the kingdom of Jesus? How is He going to bring all of the nations of the earth under the rule of Christ? How is He going to raise up the church of Christ to be the beautifully adorned, unified bride that Ephesians 4 tells us she will be? Well, first and foremost, we know that He could just speak it into existence. He could speak as He did on the days of creation and make things happen. He could bring all the nations under Christ and He could unify the church tomorrow if He wanted to. But that's not how He has chosen to work. You see, what we've learned from the book of Acts is that the Holy Spirit works through means. He works through simple steps of obedience. One step of obedience after another, after another, after another. So yes, it is all of those little things that add up to a worldwide conquest for Jesus. Each child who learns to honor their parents in the little things is taking such a step. Each mother who learns to see the joy of obedience in washing those same dishes that she washed just a few hours before after breakfast, or changing that diaper that was so new and fresh just a few moments ago. Each husband moves the kingdom forward when he shows real love to his wife. And I'm not talking about the romantic, grandiose fanfare that Hollywood would have us see. No, I'm talking about when we remember to actually tell her that we love her every day. Maybe opening her door, honoring her in front of others. And yes, even changing one of those diapers or doing some dishes occasionally. Those are real obedient steps of love that we need to remember move the kingdom of God forward in history. You see, these are the good works that Paul tells the saints in Ephesus that we were created in Christ Jesus to do as His workmanship. These are the simple things that the Holy Spirit of God will weave together into a glorious tapestry that is the history of Christ's kingdom filling the earth. That's an image that Edith Schaefer used all the time to understand the mystery of how God works, which is so gloriously brought forward in that song that we sang this morning. You know, if you've ever gone up to a tapestry and looked at the back, it's kind of scary. And if you got a magnifying glass out so you could really see the details, it would actually look confusing. There's threads everywhere and tied off in knots. It's a mess. And even up close, if you're looking with a magnifying glass, it doesn't really look like a work of art. You know, it looks like somebody put some yellow in line and they mixed in a color here and there, and it's interesting. But it isn't until you step back from that tapestry that is perhaps spanning an entire wall and see the wonder of how all of those individual stitches and threads came together to be a glorious work of art. And we need to understand history and its flow in the same way. Now, lest anyone think that I'm exaggerating about all of these practical things, I want you to think about the fact that it is these practical commands that follow Paul's solid theology at the end of the book of Romans, which he wrote to these saints, at the end of both 1st and 2nd Corinthians, church that was having problems. They're at the end of Galatians, which he had some of the strongest condemnation for. They're at the end of Ephesians, which we read in part responsibly this morning. You'll find him at the end of Philippians and Colossians. And of course, you have all of the practical things that are required of church leaders in the pastoral epistles. You see, it's easy to focus on Paul's triumphant entrance into Rome on this glorious day. But we must remember that it was brought forth by all of the obedient steps that led up to it. Of course, you have Paul's willingness to face the danger in Jerusalem and to make the trip. You have even the Roman centurions who protected Paul by simply doing their job. All of the saints, and Luke gives them very little attention, but we know they're there. All of the saints who cared for and ministered to Paul financially and in practical ways during these years of imprisonment. And we must even remember all of those pagan sailors who served on the ship, and on both ships actually, and the residents of Malta who cared for Paul and the others. You see, that should remind us that God will use whatever means He wills to accomplish His purposes. If we are disobedient or apathetic and don't do those little acts of obedience, God won't let that mess up the flow of history. He will simply use someone else or something else. And finally, we should remember those faithful saints there in Rome who prayed as Paul had requested them to pray, striving for years in prayer that Paul might be able to join them. All of those small steps came together to produce a journey that changed all of history. Even the secular world will concede that. May we be those who remember such things whenever we are tempted to be discouraged by that next little task that we are called upon to do that seems so tedious, or the next time we face the trial that God has placed in our path, always remembering the truth that Paul wrote years ago to these saints in Rome who are now coming out to see him as he enters Rome after praying for him all these years. Those very familiar words of Romans chapter 8. Beginning at verse 26, he wrote to them, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not even know what we should pray for or how we should pray. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. May we be His willing servants as He calls us. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to An Orderly Account from Church of the King in Roseville. Pastor John Stews will continue to encourage you in this series next week at the same time. Church of the King welcomes any interested individuals, couples, or families to join us Sunday mornings at 11 for worship at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We're a pro-life, pro-family church, preaching the Word and celebrating communion each week. To learn more about us, visit us at orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660.